You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, our head of Australian economics. And Gareth, good to have a chat today.
It is, Belinda, and what has once again been a very, very big week.
I was going to say the same thing. So it's been a very common occurrence recently to have a lot of economic data out that's peculiar and interesting, driven by the coronavirus. And this week was no exception, where we had the second quarter CPI inflation data out. What did that data show us?
Well, it was another extraordinary piece of economic data. And we're kind of getting used to wild movements in the data being the normal. But we saw the biggest quarterly fall in headline CPI since the Great Depression. So you got to go back almost 100 years to find a quarter where inflation dropped so rapidly. And inflation on the headline measure fell by 1.9% over the June quarter. Now, there's a few oddities in the data that are going to wash out next quarter. Childcare was free, if you recall, over the June quarter. And petrol prices were down 20%. And so those two things alone account for most of the fall in the CPI. So in some ways, it looks more dramatic than really what the change of inflation pulse is in Australia. But notwithstanding, we're going to be in a very low inflation environment for quite some time now.
Well, I was just going to touch on that. So obviously, you know, that number was, you know, a very large negative print, but doesn't mean that Australia's in for a period of deflation or prices going backwards. Or are we just in for a period of slower price growth from here? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, you've got to clearly articulate whether you talk about deflation or disinflation. I think people are using the term deflation to refer to what is actually disinflation, which is just very, very low inflation. So our expectation is we'll see a bounce in the headline CPI in the September quarter. Basically, as childcare is no longer free, so you'll get effectively everything you lost there in terms of the price fall will be put back on. And petrol prices so far in July are quite a bit higher than they averaged over the June quarter. So we'll see a step up, but the annual rate will be very, very low. So on our forecast profile, we have the annual rate of inflation positive for the next few years, but at a very, very low level. And the trim mean measure, which is the one that the RBA talks about often, and they obviously, that's their preferred measure, you know, on our numbers, that's going to be just a little bit over 1%, kind of oscillating between 1 and 1.5% over the next few years, which is clearly well below their 2 to 3% target band.
Now, I'm going to ask you about the RBA in a few questions' time. But in the meantime, I just want to talk about the broader inflation outlook and the role that inflation expectations and wages growth is going to make on, I guess, the inflation outlook over the next couple of years. Where are inflation expectations standing? And also, when we think about the large lift in the unemployment rate and the excess supply in the labour market, what does that mean for wages growth and therefore inflation?
Yeah, good question. So inflation expectations have dropped, and that's exactly what you'd expect given we're in the midst of such a big negative economic shock. And the other thing to remember is inflation expectations have been falling for years anyway in the lead up to what's happened. And the Reserve Bank hadn't hit its inflation target for, I think it was about 4 years. So we're already in an environment where inflation expectations were low, wages growth was quite weak. I mean, a lot of that underpinned why the Reserve Bank was cutting interest rates. And clearly that's now taken a leg down because of what's happening in the economy. So our expectation is that basically over the next few years, the economy is going to be operating with a huge degree of spare capacity. That ultimately weighs on the ability for people to negotiate a pay rise. It will weigh on the ability for firms to increase the prices of the goods and services that they're selling. And then so ultimately you end up in a period of very low inflation. I would just add, though, that it wouldn't surprise me that in the inflation basket itself, that we actually see some unusual volatility in the numbers going forward. So while we're of the view that inflation is going to be low, if you drill into the basket, I think we'll see some unusual dynamics over the next 6 to 12 months where some of those businesses that have been impacted by restrictions, and I'm thinking here in the services sector, restaurants, hotels, basically those businesses that have got caps on the number of people that they can take, I think we might actually see some price rises for particularly for the services that they sell, because at the end of the day, there'll probably be more people wanting to go to cafes and go to restaurants and pubs and whatnot as we get into the warmer weather than what those businesses are allowed to take, and therefore the natural response to that is to raise prices.
The power of demand and supply comes through again,
exactly,
doesn't it?
Exactly right. It does.
Now, just on the wages outlook, I mean, we talked about the excess supply in the labour market. We get wages data in 2 weeks' time. What are we expecting the general trend to be?
Look, we're going to be in a very low wages environment for a number of years. Given unemployment has risen so quickly, it'll be very, very hard for people to negotiate a pay rise. We've already seen that the Fair Work Commission hand down a lift in the minimum wage, which is significantly lower than the previous increase. So they're down at 1.75%, which is below the Reserve Bank's inflation target when you think about it. And there'll be so many workers who simply have no bargaining power, if you like, to negotiate a pay rise. And we might find that many people are going to be asked to take pay cuts, which is a very unusual state of affairs, but then nothing about what we're going through right now is usual. So our forecast profile for wages growth has it very, very low over the next few years. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me to see a period of time where basically wages growth, real wages of growth is negative, because wages outcomes are just so low that when you then overlay a bit of mild inflation, you end up with real negative wages growth. And that's one of the reasons why we're kind of advocating to pull forward the tax cuts, because for a lot of households, they're going to find that they're doing it very, very tough on the wages side over the next few years.
And we do expect to hear something on that in the October budget. Now, we have to also keep in mind that although wages growth will be low, the income side of the Australian economy at the moment is going through a positive shock. And we're tracking that through the income flowing through into CBA bank accounts. What's the latest data showing us?
Yeah, so we published an update on that this week. And the latest data that we've got on government payments is picking up the second tranche of the $750 payments to low-income households. So that, when you combine that with JobSeeker, the coronavirus supplement, means that government payments have stepped up significantly in the past few weeks. And then on top of that, we've still got JobKeeper, which is supporting wages and salaries. So this positive income shock to households, which we've been talking about for many months now, it remains in play. And that story is basically locked in right through the September quarter. And the stimulus payments will be tapered in the fourth quarter of this year, but there's still plenty of support that's going into the household sector.
Now, just turning our attention to the RBA, we have the August board meeting next week, and then we also hear their updated economic forecasts on Friday as part of the quarterly statement on monetary policy. Now, we haven't heard the RBA's updated forecast since May. There's a lot of water under the bridge in terms of the coronavirus, where it was looking like it was getting better. We now have the second wave coming through in Melbourne and a lesser extent in Sydney as well. What are you expecting out of the RBA?
Well, look, to the meeting itself, they'll probably do nothing. That's our expectation. And it's crazy to think that we've just had the biggest fall in CPI since the Great Depression, and yet they'll leave monetary policy on hold. But that's basically because they can't take the cash rate any lower. So we think they'll end up just leaving next week the cash rate where it is at 0.25%, and they'll keep the target on the three-year bond also at 0.25%. So the meeting, in a lot of ways, is no longer about the decision. It's about the governor's statement. And I think there's a good chance that it'll preview what the RBA's forecasts are going to be in the statement of monetary policy on Friday. And on that, they'll end up upgrading their forecast for Q2 GDP, basically because the economy reopened over the June quarter quicker than they would have expected when they first put those forecasts together in May. So that'll result in a step up in the GDP profile, which kind of raises everything else. But I think in terms of their thinking for the second half of this year and early next year, they probably won't make major surgery to their forecasts. And the reason I say that is before Melbourne went into lockdown, or metropolitan Melbourne went into lockdown, the Reserve Bank was basically saying that it looked like the economy was tracking better than their central scenario, and we completely agreed because we'd upgraded our forecast for GDP as well. But now that Melbourne and Victoria is basically back down in lockdown, you can see that they'd be very reluctant to sort of pull forward or pull up their growth profile. So I think what we'll end up seeing is a set of forecasts from the Reserve Bank that aren't too dissimilar from the ones they gave us in May, notwithstanding some adjustments to Q2. And they'll probably look very similar to the government's forecast that we got out last week in the updated economic and fiscal statement. I mean, generally speaking, the Reserve Bank's forecasts don't differ too much from government. We often get the May statement of monetary policy and the May budget within a couple of weeks of each other, and the forecasts are usually very similar. So with that in mind, I think we'll see a similar set of numbers next week to what we saw from the government last week.
And certainly you can see the impact of those Melbourne lockdowns on some of the high-frequency data that we've been looking at. So certainly in the income data that you were talking about earlier, we have seen a slight tick up in the job seeker payments coming through. We've also seen Victoria card spend data in the CBA weekly card spend start to deteriorate, particularly in areas that are being impacted by the lockdown, such as transport, personal care, mobility data, people moving around Melbourne's come off as well. So it really just shows you the impact of economic lockdowns and also the uncertainty that that provides in terms of trying to forecast in this environment.
Yeah, look, that's exactly right. You'd probably say that the buzzword, or the RBA's favourite word to use at the moment, is uncertainty or uncertain, the word, and it's appearing everywhere, and rightly so. It is just so hard to work out what's going to happen with the economy over the next 6 to 12 months when we just don't know what parts of the economy will be open, whether or not we get another version of a shutdown or a lockdown in New South Wales, how long Victoria stays in lockdown for. I mean, we're 3 weeks into this current lockdown, and we've just had a record number of new cases announced. So very highly uncertain times, and I think that'll be the dominant theme in Friday's statement of monetary policy.
Appreciate your insights as always, Gareth.
It's good to chat, Belinda. Thank you.
CBA data is cited. This refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement. And you can find all of our research, including our write-up of the inflation report and also the RBA preview, on combankresearch.com.au.